Broadcasting in the evenings on WCPT 820 Chicago's Progressive Talk, and in the afternoons on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show on your Tuesday. Good to have you with us today. Dr. Joe Eastman is our COVID modeling expert, our infectious diseases expert, our just the guy that I go to when I was like, what's going on, man? He is kind enough to help us. I will put a link out to his blog. If you're not following it, you need to. A lot of great information there. He has worked with a ton of different organizations. And once again, Dr. Joe, who is the one that you're... Well, you just got courted by another group that wants you to come help work with them, correct?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's fun, though. Keeps me busy, keeps the brain sharp in my retirement, so what the heck. I work for the World Health Network and kind of do their modeling stuff. We get some exciting stuff going on there. And then a really well-respected doctor asked me to consult on a cancer and COVID project that he's proposing right now. So, yeah, lots of good stuff.
Well, let's.
And then we got the avian flu.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the avian flu. Since we talked to you about COVID and stuff, let's talk about that. Where is it right now? It seems like we are in that time of the year where things start calming down. And once again, I mean, it's a very different world than it was 4 years ago. But at the same time, we did have a spike this year. Has that spike gone down at this point? It started to recede?
Yeah, we went from well over a million new cases today to currently we're around 500,000. It's going to continue to bottom out probably around 400,000 and then start a slow climb up again, possibly into May. That was my last forecast I got out, and I'm looking at other people's forecasts right now, and they're kind of coming to a similar conclusion. What's really getting worrisome is the number of long COVID cases are just across the globe. In Australia, they just did a study, and there's one out of five people with long COVID in that country. The U.S. just had a new one after sitting around 14-15%. Now we're up to 17% in the States. So that is a problem. It's a slow evolving problem that we don't have medical treatments for in a lot of ways, but I think we're starting to see a little fruits of the research community in terms of possible treatments, repurposing old drugs and things like that. So it's getting a little bit better. So, but still, this is a big problem, not only just health-wise, but for our economy, of course. So we can't lose our focus on COVID either at this time.
Well, and we had talked for years about the long COVID, and the fact is we don't quite know what the full extent of the consequences are. What we do know is that it does attack the brain, and it does seem to cause a plethora of symptoms and problems that were there. You know, it sounds like, because I know I saw the study that you're pointing out that they're starting to find drugs that are seeming to have some success with long COVID. But at the same time, they're also discovering new problems with long COVID that they didn't realize was actually because of long COVID.
Yeah, I mean, we're identifying well over 200 symptoms of long COVID now. The list is just absolutely incredible. And I got a little personal thing of about 14,000 research articles, and you know I can't possibly read all these, but I kind of go through them and pick out the main details and such. This is something that we really got to focus on, because it's only going to get worse when we're sitting at levels that are above our very first spike from COVID. That's our low point now, so. You know, if we're getting up around one out of five people with this affliction, the post-acute sequela, it's a very serious problem, and we really have to focus on it.
Is there, how many diseases affecting humans have, we'll just go with the American numbers, 17% of American people, is it 17% of the American people or 17% of the people that have had COVID, that have long COVID?
17% of the population.
17% of the population. Is there how many other diseases have that kind of reach within the population?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I couldn't answer that off the top of my head, but I know this one is a standout in terms of that. You know, in a lot of times, like you say, it takes a while before we realize all the different pathways that this thing is taking. And the scary thing right now is this darn virus. It's a competition between the human and immune system and the evolution of the COVID, and it is putting so much of its resources into immunity escape and such that it's reached a scary point. In fact, it's gotten into our bone marrow, where you have the naive cells that need to be trained to fight off new infections and such, and we don't have an infinite reservoir of those, so we're using these things up at an incredible rate, and slowly your immune system is just not going to keep pace with what is going on.
So we could have a disease-caused immune deficiency issue.
Exactly.
Dear Lord.
We're seeing signs of it everywhere, and all, you know, like the measles. All these different things are starting to increase in numbers, and they do have different causes, you know, less vaccination for the kiddos and things like that that should be done, and they are easily addressable if people just get their act together.
Well, I'm terrified. I'm going to do the rest of the show in a fetal position underneath the desk here. When you talk about the number of cases that we were having, how do you know what the percentage of the asymptomatic was? Because once again, I'm not saying that there aren't people that are getting the old style condition of COVID, but I think a lot of people are getting a milder version and they just don't even realize it.
Yeah, I've seen estimates like in the United States and actually across the world, right around 60%. Of the cases are asymptomatic, so, you know, over half the new cases, they're walking around, they don't know they even got it, and they're not going to take precautions naturally. And then you get the CDC saying that, hey, you're asymptomatic, but if you haven't had a fever in a day, you're cool. Go ahead and go back to work. That is the most crazy thing I've ever heard, man. My jaw dropped when I first read that, and it's really scary. One good thing, I just saw a study yesterday that they've identified a possible mechanism for when the SARS-CoV fuses into your cell, and there's two different cleavage mechanisms that help it get into your RNA and such, and the two different mechanisms, it's possible that one of them is the asymptomatic cause, and the other is the symptomatic cause. And what that means is maybe we have a possible way to break that link. It's going to require a lot more research, but I thought that was a bit of a positive development in this dark time right now.
What new strains of COVID are giving you raising an eyebrow? I mean, is there any new ones right now on the horizon that you're seeing in other countries that are they're getting out of control there?
Yeah, we're starting to see a lot more of the recombinants. The new one just popped up, I saw today. It's called XBV, not a lot of data on it, but the indications. They're developing software now that can predict the immune escape and the transmissibility of the darn virus through a thing called protein language, which is really cool. I wrote about that, I think, in my last Substack. And that gives me, they can actually predict what is going to come in the future. But to get back to your question, the other one is KP2. One of my colleagues is really flipping out over this thing. It has a 300% growth advantage over the JN1s that are currently the dominant strain right now. In fact, there's nothing else left. It's all JN1 right now.
Really?
And then we're going to go into the recombinant phase with those, and also this whole tendency to outpace our immune system through its evolutionary mutations. We're not winning this battle. We're falling further and further behind every year. Go ahead.
Well, it is. People, we should make sure, though, we say, so far there's been a lot of proof that you keep up with your vaccinations, and it sounds like there's a new one out. They want to at least people to go back and get the latest version of the vaccination again. If you stay up to date with that, that's at least a fairly decent, aid to a person to where they won't, once again, it's not saying you won't get sick, but if you do get sick, it's a much less likely chance you're going to get a serious problem, correct?
That's precisely right. And we just got to get back to masking. You remember after the Delta surge, and we were up to 68% in quite a bit of this country that were masking. We need to get back to that. It's going to prevent all kinds of other problems, respiratory problems and stuff, especially for the kiddos. And I was just reading a recent study where it just definitively showed our mitigation procedures for preschool children had a massive impact on reducing the infections in our young ones. So, there's a lot of variant neutral things we can do, and we're not doing them. And until people wake up, or until something else hits really strongly, I don't see it changing in the immediate future.
Well, you got idiots basically saying, "I refuse to sit next to someone wearing a mask on a plane." You're like, "Okay, really?" That's by the way, that's the big that guy's going to be begging for help when all of a sudden he gets really sick, and that's, I guarantee you that. That was that guy from Yellowstone or whatever it was. Anyway, Dr. Joe Eastman joining us. Let's get into the main course today. Apparently, you have been talking. Now, you and I have talked about chronic wasting disease, which is a disease that's running in the deer population, and there's a potential fear that that could jump to humans. But avian flu, once again, has been showing us it's got some resiliency to be able to jump. You pointed out to me, I think it was 2 weeks ago, you sent me an article saying avian flu has jumped to cows and to goats. I think it was goats first, and now it's in cows. Now we got a case from cows to humans, and it's one case. It doesn't look like it's going human to human yet, but still, avian flu is no longer a bird issue.
You're spot on. I mean, if you think about it, with the massive outbreak in the dairy cattle that we're getting, it's not like there's suddenly flocks of birds descending on our cows right now. It all points to mammal-to-mammal transmission. And that's the first step for it to jump to humans and cause human-to-human transmission. In the avian animals, you're looking at a larger than 50% mortality rate. Of course, they don't have a doctor they can go to and stuff, but that is just totally frightening. They wiped out a huge population of seals in the Arctic and
seals
Antarctic. I mean, it's in all kinds of animals. If you look at it over the past several years, it's like, good gracious, what the gray seal, harbor seal, raccoons, foxes, skunks, possums, mountain lions, brown bears, bobcats, black bears, big cats, and coyotes.
Oh my.
Exactly. And all those are mainly in the northern part of the United States. So.
Well, okay. I'm going to ask you this then. Is it going raccoon to raccoon, seal to seal, cow to cow, or is it they're all just getting exposed to a bird that's got it, and is the transfer from bird to mammal to individual mammal, or is it now mammal to mammal outside of the humans?
In some of those species, it appears to be between the species itself.
Oh, great.
Yeah, exactly. It's still airborne, the droplet borne. But if you see a dead bird, run.
Okay. Yeah, it's not 1930s where, a toy. No, leave the dead bird alone. Dr. Joe, hold on. We got to talk more about this. Sweet Lord, we got to talk more about this. Dr. Joe Eastman is our communicable disease and COVID expert. He's kind enough to join us here on a Tuesday, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on WCPT 820 and on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
DJ, put a record on. I wanna dance with my baby.
It's the Matt McNeil Show. Dr. Joe Eastman from the World Health Network, kind enough to join us today to talk about this. Okay, so I got to get back to the avian flu thing here. So we have a disease that was in birds. It's now gone from birds into mammals. It's affecting multiple different mammal groups. It is moving freely between those mammal groups. It's not like you still have to find a bird to infect every raccoon. The raccoons are infecting themselves. We have one human case. It's the second human case. This case clearly seems to have come from cows that this individual was around, and he got the avian flu from that. How, I understand part of this is just a huge speculation. How close are we to having human to human, you know, expansion of the avian flu?
I think we talked about this as long as 3 years ago, and I said I think it's inevitable within the next 10 years. I think the time span is probably shorter than that now. I wouldn't be surprised within 5 years if this happens, if not less time. And, you know, that's really scary. And the thing that is really irks me is I'm seeing some of the early health guidance, like, put out in Texas and stuff, and they're still going with this 6-foot radius stuff. And, you know, it boggles the mind, I'll put it that way. I mean, what in the heck are they thinking about? We saw this before with COVID, and they finally figured, oh, it's airborne. That sucker can travel all throughout the building, you know. If it does happen, boy, we really got to buckle down in a hurry, because we have no idea what the mortality is going to be from this. I suspect that we'll have an initial trouble treating it. And you saw with the death rates with the early COVID when it first struck here were almost 10%. So we've got it down less than 1% now. But the symptoms of the avian flu are very similar. But the only one that pops up that I can see is different is seizures. They're showing seizures in people infected with the avian flu. And then a prevalence of conjunctivitis, which is basically just your eyes going really red, and there'll be another pathway for infection, you know, through an optometrist or whatever. All these things have their own little niches that they carve out. And this one, if it happens, I'm really nervous, and most of my colleagues are much the same right now.
But compared to COVID came out of kind of really nowhere, and it was a very quick ramp up. We've known about avian flu. We've known that this has got a chance to do this. It, as you said, I mean, it's got a 50% mortality rate in birds, but birds don't have doctors. And it sounds like this guy down in Texas, they've been able to treat him with antibiotics. It's been able to, they're getting good results there. You know, it does feel like, because we have the ability of doctors, as long as a bunch of idiots don't sit there and say masking is worthless and don't get vaccinated, we should be able to weather this somewhat better than the birds, correct?
Yes. I pray for it.
Yeah.
You know how we've rolled with COVID. So
yeah.
I have my doubts in many ways. If the mortality rate, though, is like it's, was before, and this thing hits like COVID, you're going to see a lot more need for refrigerator trucks at the beginning. And that's when people really panic, when they have the visuals, you know. It was like when the Canadian wildfires came into New York, all of a sudden masks were sold out in all kinds of places, and they could see it, you mm-hmm. know. And when people see it, it starts to tick in their brains a little more, or if their kids are starting to get infected by this stuff, it really starts to freak them out too. So yeah, we don't know. It's an unknown.
But it is something I think we can say it's going to happen at some point. We can see this cab coming down the street. It eventually, avian flu will eventually jump person to person. And right now might be a good time to, hey, you know what? Maybe I should pick up some masks. Maybe I should kind of get, you know, the stuff that I need, you know, have some emergency food supply, stuff like that, in case it does go wrong, correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It does have a reproduction number very similar to the early stages of COVID is the best I can find in the literature. So it is highly, highly contagious and airborne in that respect. So, and it also, you know, lives on surfaces, seems to have a longer sustainability on surfaces. So, yeah, I hope people take this very seriously. And like you say, it's not a bad idea. I got two big boxes of N95 respirator masks always in the house. Uh-huh. And I think all people should have those.
And wear one on a plane. And once again, reiterate too with COVID, go get the latest vaccine, whatever it is. It's now time. You can get another scheduled shot. Go get it, because that's the best way to get through that, correct?
You're darn tootin'.
All right. I will let you, we shall give Chicago a lot of praise. The Bulls came into Minneapolis. Cool. And Dr. Joe is also our Minnesota Timberwolves fan. But the Bulls did, they took care of business. They came into town and they beat up on the T-Wolves on Monday.
That Caruso, man, his defense was incredible, and boy, could he shoot that three ball that night.
Should I be concerned that the T-Wolves kind of have this tendency? They beat Denver in Denver, and then they come back, and what on paper is a worse team, you know, around a 500 Chicago club, they lose at home there. I mean, when it comes to the first round, will these guys with the T-Wolves, will they pull it together?
I know it. I'm fearful because a lot of the teams at the bottom are playing their best ball of the year right now. And Anthony Edwards is kind of in a funk right now. He had a bunch of turnovers. He couldn't even make layups that game. It was like, I don't know if he needs a rest or what. And then you got the Towns factor coming back in, probably in a couple weeks. And how's he going to mesh back in? Because there is a pretty good chemistry going on with Conley and Rudy, and Nas is still doing his thing, and there's a lot of good components. So
and
I am fairly confident.
And once again, praise to Chicago. The Bulls are going to make the playoffs in the East. So it's and praise to the Bulls. You guys got the nice win there. Dr. Joe, I'll post the blog out a little bit later for all the health information. As always, my friend, thank you very much, and you take care, okay?
Thank you very much, Matt, and you have a good week in Chicago.
I will. Chicago, talk to you tomorrow. Minneapolis-St. Paul, hour two up next.